heard about a church service where a lady got up to sing a special. She sang Love Lifted Me. She was a rather large lady. And a man got up afterwards and sang a song called It Took a Miracle. Don't know if it's true or not. That has nothing to do with the message this morning. But if you would open your Bible to Matthew chapter 7, we're going to be looking at verses 15 through 20. And this is part of a series that I started last week that I've entitled Being an Authentic Christian. And when I talk about being an authentic Christian, you know, there's many people today who profess to know Christ who their life shows no evidence of salvation. And the Bible even teaches us, and in fact we're going to look at this next week, the Bible tells us that there will be people who profess to know Christ as their Savior who aren't saved. And they will be surprised on Judgment Day when the Lord tells them, I didn't know you, and tells them, depart from me. And so as we go through this series, it's really my desire and my prayer that as you listen to the different illustrations that Jesus gives regarding being an authentic Christian, that you'll look at your own life, that you'll examine your life, and that you'll make sure, that you'll make very sure, that you're not one of those people who goes through life thinking that they've got everything settled with Jesus Christ and yet not having the real thing, not being an authentic Christian. And of course, last week, we looked at the two ways. We saw that the way that led to destruction, it was broad and there were many people who were going down that way. And then Jesus said that the way that led to life, that it was narrow. And there were few that would find it. And so we see that the way of Christ is not the easy way. It's not the popular way. But it indeed is a different way, a narrow way. And according to Christ, there are few that will find it. And so on the heels of that illustration, the two ways, Jesus then goes on and gives us another illustration. And this one, instead of looking at two ways, it looks at two trees. And so let's look at verse 15. Jesus declares, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now, as we explore this passage this morning, Jesus begins by warning us to beware of false prophets. But I want you to understand that as Jesus speaks about false prophets, the idea goes beyond just those who would get up and from a pulpit or maybe with literature or whatever would peddle some kind of false gospel. But the primary idea here is those people who would profess Christ falsely. And we see that as we get into the next illustration that that Jesus gives in verses 21, 22, and 23, as we see two types of Christians, and we'll get into that next week. But I want you to understand that the idea here is people who would profess to know Christ, but in their life there is absolutely no evidence that they have been converted, no evidence that they have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. They have outward guise, they have outward signs, but they don't really know the Lord Jesus Christ. They may have religious deeds, they may have things like that, but they don't have the true evidence of salvation. And there in verse 15, Jesus likens them to wolves that are in sheep's clothing. And so you get the imagery of those who would profess Christ, but really there is no substance in their life. And today we're going to look at the illustration of the two trees. And as we look at this morning, I would submit to you, you must produce fruit. You must produce fruit. And we should add in there, you must produce good fruit. Amen. That way you prove that you are indeed a believer. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 16, Jesus says, "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" See, back in that day, wheat and barley, grapes and figs, those were like the mainstays of that culture. Wheat and barley were used to make bread, and of course the grapes and the figs were just an everyday occurrence. So as Jesus spoke of this, everybody had an acquaintance with picking grapes, and they also had an acquaintance with figs. Now I know here we call figs what I would call bananas, but the fig actually that they're talking about is kind of a different kind of looks like a pear, kind of, if you could, and kind of has a consistency maybe between a peach and an apple. But they were very familiar with what Jesus was talking about. They were familiar with grapes and figs, and they were also familiar with thorns and thistles. Very much an agrarian society. And many of those people who were listening to Jesus probably had crops and probably had at least gardens and things that they would tend. And they knew very well that thistles and thorns were the enemy of fruit. They were the enemy of what their crops, they were an enemy to their crops being able to produce as much as possible. Jesus spoke in familiar terms to them, and they understood very well that nothing of any value comes from thorns and thistles. And that is how Jesus begins his illustration of the two trees. Now, the first thing that I want you to notice in this illustration, as you think about being an authentic Christian, first let's consider the law of yield. The law of yield. Verse 17, Jesus says, "Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." In other words, a tree will yield the kind of fruit that is at the root. So whatever the root of the tree is, that will be evidenced in the fruit that is produced on that tree. Matthew Henry said this. He said, "The illustration of this comparison of the fruits being the discovery of the tree. You cannot always distinguish a tree, that is, by their bark and leaves, nor by the spreading of their boughs. But you can always identify the tree by the fruits." And that's why Jesus said, "By the fruit ye shall know them." Now listen to this illustration. A farmer was showing his fine orchard to a friend who admired its neat and regular appearance. So imagine the orchard, the trees in a row, everything landscaped and manicured and looks beautiful. "But," said the friend, pointing to a peculiarly shaped tree, "if that were my tree, I'd root it up in order to preserve the uniformity of the orchard." To which the farmer smiled and replied that he was more interested in the fruit than the form of the tree. "This tree," he said, "has yielded me more fruit than any of those trees that conform to a more regular pattern." You know, Jesus would agree with that farmer that regardless of the shape, what is crucial about a tree is what kind of fruit it produces. And I want you to understand that this really goes both ways when it comes to Christianity and people who would be involved in what we would call religion. You know, I think many churches are too concerned with making a cookie-cutter mold of a person. They want them to dress a certain way, want them to have a certain kind of haircut, and if they can achieve that in the person's life, well, then they're happy. They feel that they've accomplished something. But I'm telling you, the form is not as important as the fruit. And you know, that goes to the other way as well. You may, you know, feel like you have liberty to dress however you want or to have whatever kind of hair or to do this or to do that. But if you don't have the fruit, then you don't have the real thing. You understand that the key is the fruit. That's what Jesus is saying. A good tree will produce good fruit. So get the idea out of your mind that it somehow has to do with wearing a tie or something like that. Or that, on the other hand, that it has nothing to do with how you look. Understand that the important thing is, do you have the fruit? Do you have evidence in your life of salvation? There has to be an inward change to produce fruit. And that is the key. The fruit reveals the root of the tree. Now, I've had the opportunity to go to Disney World. We were able to take Kara there one of the times when we went back to the States in the past year. And we went to Disney World's Animal Kingdom. And, you know, they have all these different little rides and stuff like that. And one of the things that they had was a safari ride where you get in this big, you know, like, looks like one of these African safari trucks. And they have a little path they take you down. They got speakers in the truck and they're acting like poachers or on the trail and they're driving around and all these different things, right? But as you're going through, they have actual live animals out there, you know, elephants and giraffes. And so it's kind of like a zoo, but you get to go on this ride at the same time. But something that was interesting to me is that, you know, it's in the middle of Florida, which is nothing like Africa. And so in order to make some of the trees look right, in order to get trees to look like the African acacia trees, what they did was they took tall oak trees and they cut them in such a way so that they look like, you know, the African trees out on the savannah, the acacia trees. And I mean, it really gives you the effect of being out, you know, in Africa. You look across and you see these trees shaped like that. And I mean, it really looks like what you see on National Geographic and different things like that. But the truth is, those are not really acacia trees. And from a distance, they may look like those kind of trees. But close up, somebody who really knew trees would be able to look at that tree and know that it was not the legitimate acacia tree like you would find on the African savannah. And you know, in the same way, you want to examine your life and make sure that you're not just a Christian in appearance. Make sure that you're not just looking like a Christian, but make sure that there's real substance to your life, that there is evidence that you are indeed an authentic Christian. That is the law of yield. A good tree will yield good fruit. The proof is not in the shape of the tree. The proof is in the fruit that it produces. And if you look at your life and you don't live for the Lord Jesus Christ, and you never open your mouth to give testimony of what He's done in your life, and there's absolutely no evidence that you're a Christian, then according to what Jesus is saying, you're not an authentic Christian, and you need to get the real thing, the law of yield. Secondly, I want you to consider the law of impossibility. Jesus points out something to us. It might seem commonplace, but when you really think it through, people attempt in their life to make this law of impossibility a law of probability. Verse 18, Jesus declares, "A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." Understand that as a believer, if you really are a Christian, then you won't bring forth evil fruit in your life. If you look at your life and the only thing that's coming out of your life is things that go against the Word of God, then that goes against the change that Jesus Christ is seeking to create in your life. And that's an indication, it's proof, that you're not really a believer. Matthew Henry said this. He said, "If you know what the tree is, you may know what fruit to expect. Never look to gather grapes from thorns, nor figs from thistles. It is not in their nature to produce such fruits." Now catch this. "An apple may be stuck, or a bunch of grapes may hang on a thorn. So may good truth or a good word or action be found in a bad man. But you may be sure it never grew there." You know, there are some people who they know how to say all the right religious things. You sit down and talk to them about, you know, well, tell me about your, you know, do you know Christ? Have you ever, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? You say something like that. And oh, they know how to talk. They know how to get soft tones and look at you very sincere and talk about faith and Jesus and things like this. But as you look at their life, there is no evidence of salvation. In fact, you see just the contrary in their life. You see evidence of corruption. You see evidence of sin. You don't see anything that would indicate that Jesus Christ lives there. And I want you to understand that, yes, a person may be able to say some very religious things. They may know all the right things to say. You may find an apple or a cluster of grapes hung on a thorn. But you can mark it down. It did not grow there. And so you want to examine your life today and make sure that you don't just have some religious things stuck on, but that indeed you are producing evidence of salvation, that you are producing good fruit. Think about it this morning. What kind of fruit do you have in your life? It's impossible, impossible for a good tree to bring forth evil fruit and vice versa. Listen to this story. One former Navy pilot. You know, sometimes military men can be pretty rough. This Navy pilot tells how he was living a life wilder than he knew he should live. He decided that his problem was that he was being led astray by his friends that were in flight training. So he arranged to finish his work in the program early and to be transferred to another field nearby. So the problem was his friends, right? Yet it wasn't long, he said, before he was back in the same old bars with the same girls, just with different friends. One night, out on the town, he wondered, why do I do this? And finally he realized, because I like to. Before a person becomes a Christian, a real Christian, not just someone who professes Christ, but before they come to Christ, their want to is broken. They don't want to do the things of God. They want to do the wrong things. Before a person comes to Christ, they're not interested in God. They're bored with church. They're bored by Bible reading. That person can't make themselves want to do right. They can't make themselves do the correct thing. But when a person is born again, God repairs his want to. Even though he still feels the pull of temptation, he will have a new set of desires. He will love God and want to talk to God in prayer and see what God has to say to him in his word, the Bible. He wants to be around other people who love God. Church attendance becomes meaningful. There is a new desire to obey God. Now, if you look at your life this morning, and all you want to do is the wrong thing, and all you see produced in your life is the wrong thing, now I want you to understand it is an impossibility for that to take place, and yet you to somehow be saved inside. A tree will be known by its fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth good fruit, verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And then our third point, this brings us to verse 19, the next point, the law of productivity. So we've had the law of yield, the law of impossibility. The law of yield said, you're a good tree, you're going to yield good fruit. Evil tree, evil fruit. The law of impossibility, good tree cannot produce evil fruit. Evil tree cannot produce good fruit. And now I want you to catch this morning. The law of productivity. Verse 19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Now this morning, if you're the kind of believer who has professed Christ, but yet there's no evidence, there's no fruit in your life, there's nothing to show that you have had a real change inside, that verse ought to get your attention. That ought to be a wake-up call to you. That should be like a flashing sign, like a siren going off. Because do you see the end result of the tree that is not producing good fruit? It's hewn down, it's cut down, and cast into the fire. And my friend, that will be your situation if you've made a false profession of faith in Christ, and then that day you stand before Him and it comes to light that you were not really changed at all, and that really you were an evil tree saying that you were producing good fruit. You see, this ought to get your attention this morning if you're the kind of Christian that has no desire to live for God and no desire to do the things of God. It should frighten you this morning if you don't have fruit in your life. Because Jesus said a tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and cast into the fire. Now, if you're having trouble visualizing that this morning, I thought it was so interesting when I came up last night and saw that David had had the mango tree cut down. That mango tree had been there a long time. You know why that tree was cut down? No fruit. It was dead. I mean, it's just taking up space, right? So David said, "You're out of here." Last night it had been all cut down in sections. There's some big old sections of wood out there. And so I was helping him carry them from there over to here. And then sometime late at night, him and Abim carried them down behind his house. But as I was carrying them with him, I said, "David, I said, what you going to do with these blocks of wood? I mean, what, you make a coffee table out of it or what?" He said, "No, this tree is rotten. I'm going to burn it." And that's what you do with a tree that doesn't produce fruit. That's exactly what Jesus is saying in this passage. What was that tree good for? It's good for nothing except to cut it down and burn it in the fire. I hope that is not the story of your life. I hope that as you look at your life, that you're more like that tree we see out there that has all those mangoes hanging on it. I hope you're the kind of Christian that is abundantly evident that you've had a change in your life and that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life. That there's no question about it. But if there is a question this morning, then look at your life and decide this morning. If you haven't got the real thing, if you're not an authentic Christian, then come and get it settled this morning. Find out how you can have the real change in your life. And then if you're a believer and you get kind of nervous because you know there's some problems in your life, but as you look at your life, you believe you're really saved, well, then make up your mind that you're going to be the kind of tree that produces real fruit for your Savior. You might say, "Well, what kind of fruit does Christ want me to produce?" Well, let's take a little trip and look in your Bibles, if you would. Galatians 5:22. I'd like you to see these passages. This is a common one, the fruit of the Spirit. Some of you might even be able to quote it. Galatians chapter 5. In verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Do you have those things in your life? Those are the fruit of the Spirit. Not only that, Jesus is looking for the fruit of our lips. Look at Hebrews 13:15. Hebrews 13:15. "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." When we engage in worship here at the church, is your heart moved to worship God and to sing to Him? Do you offer the fruit of praise? Do you offer a sacrifice of praise? Or is that desire just not there? If that's not there, that should be a warning flag to you. There's also the fruit of holy living. Look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 22. It says, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." The fruit of a believer is a life that's separated and holy unto God, a life that's different from the wickedness of the world. And Colossians 1:10. These are some of the things that ought to be in your life. These are some of the things that are evidences that you're a good tree. These are the good fruits that you ought to have. Colossians 1, verse 10 says, "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." The fruit of good work. Do you have good work in your life? It won't save you, but it's an evidence that you are saved. And then lastly, Romans chapter 1, verse 13. Romans chapter 1, verse 13. Paul says, "Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Paul is talking about, what kind of fruit he's talking about there is the fruit of winning somebody else to Jesus Christ. When we win someone else to Christ, the Bible talks about that as fruit that abounds, right, to our account. And so, do you give witness? Are you a testimony? Have you ever led someone to Christ? All of those things are evidences that you are indeed an authentic Christian. And I hope this morning that you can say, yes, Pastor Jimmy, I know, I'm for real. I'm not just professing that I know Christ, I really know Him. You could stamp, I'm an authentic Christian on me. But this morning, maybe as a believer, maybe you know you're saved. Maybe God is dealing with you about the amount of fruit that you're producing in your life. Maybe you know you're saved. Or maybe you struggle with being a fruitful believer. Listen to this illustration. This last illustration will be done this morning. The author says, some time ago we noticed that a tree planted at the sunny end of a house had large and beautiful blossoms. It was a feast to the eyes. But what an amazing difference in some of the branches trained around the corner of the house, where they got much less sun. He says the blossoms were starved, drooping. There was little promise of fruit. They had the same root, same stem in common, but while one part of the tree was in the full glorious light, the other branches were in the shade. And you know, in the same way, you may be a true believer. You really have come to Christ. You really have accepted Him as your Savior. But maybe you don't dwell in the light. Maybe you never read your Bible. Maybe you're hit and miss with your church attendance. I'm telling you, if you don't spend time in the full-on sunlight of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will not be able to produce the same amount of fruit as if you're with Him, spending time with Him every day. If you look at your life and you say, you know, there's really not that much evidence. I believe that I've trusted Christ. I believe that I'm saved. But there's just not that evidence there. I would encourage you this morning to make up your mind that you're going to be a full sunlight kind of Christian. That you're going to spend time in His Word every day. That you're going to pray. That you're not going to let excuses and different things keep you out of the house of God. But that you're going to be serious about living a life that is fruitful for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus said that a good tree will produce good fruit, and an evil tree will produce corrupt fruit, evil fruit. My friend, what kind of tree are you this morning?